We have entered into the seventh week in ordinary time, and we are in the last stages before Lent. This is, we have all of seventh week, and then a few days in the eighth week, and then Ash Wednesday is next week. In the seventh week this year, we start to read in the first reading from the Old Testament book of Sirach. So we finished reading that first section of the book of Genesis last week. Now, Sirach, which is in the Catholic tradition one of the wisdom books. The Protestants don't accept Sirach as an inspired writing, but we recognize that it is the inspired word of God. If you look in your other translations of the Bible, for example, the New American Bible Revised Edition, it's called the book is called The Wisdom of Ben-Sira. So it's clearly a wisdom book, The Wisdom of Ben-Sira. The old name for it was the book of Ecclesiasticus. Anyway, in the liturgy, in the lectionary anyway, it's called Sirach. And it addresses in many different ways the whole topic of wisdom. This first reading certainly starts out on the topic of wisdom. All wisdom comes from the Lord. With him it remains forever and is before all time. And then a whole bunch of maxims or sayings about wisdom. And the books that refer to wisdom sometimes refer to wisdom as a kind of personification of God, sometimes a description of the law of God, sometimes a way of describing the order in creation. So wisdom is created and infiltrates all things. And sometimes wisdom is a description of God himself. So it gets a little bit confusing. Back in the 3rd, 4th century, when Arianism was a terrible heresy that was afflicting the church, the Arians read a passage like this and said, well, wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is created. Therefore, wisdom is not co-eternal with God. Therefore, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is not equal to the Father. That was their conclusion, because the Son is the wisdom of the Father. The Word of God comes from the Father. But it's clear from these passages that wisdom is created. Wisdom comes from God, and anything created can't be God. So they fell into the error of thinking, therefore, Jesus can't be God. He's somehow less than the Father. Well, the fathers of the church, I think especially of Athanasius, but all the great minds of the church said, no, the problem you're running into there is that Jesus has two natures, right? He has a created nature and an uncreated nature. He has a human nature, which is created. Like all of us, we're creatures. But he also has a divine nature, and that's uncreated, that's eternal, eternally begotten of the Father. So whenever you read a wisdom passage that seems to imply that wisdom is eternal, that wisdom always is and was, always flowing from God, well, that's the divine nature. If you see a passage that says, oh, wisdom was created and wisdom comes from God and is in creation, well, that's the created nature. And so whether you're looking at wisdom, eternal wisdom, or you're looking at wisdom in creation, it always points to Jesus Christ. That's kind of the summary of how the fathers of the church read a passage like this. This points to Jesus Christ. All things point to Jesus Christ. Old, new, large, small. Okay. And now, one of the beautiful things about pondering wisdom is that we find it everywhere. Everything points to God. Everything comes from God. The sciences are built, all the modern sciences are built on the assumption that there is order in creation, that if you look into creation, you can find something intelligible. Now, that's an assumption that sometimes isn't explicit, and that's why sometimes people say, well, science is an enemy of religion. No, they certainly go together. If creation were completely random, or if there was an element of randomness that would make it impossible for us to identify laws, or stable conditions, we would really be in trouble. For example, if you pick up your water bottle, and today it's liquid water, because it's, what's the temperature in here, about 27, maybe 28 degrees, whatever temperature it is, water's liquid at 27 degrees. But if you picked it up and it was solid, like a block of ice, you'd say, well, what happened to the water? It's frozen. But if water, you know, water freezes at zero. If it freezes at 27, we're in trouble. Or if you pick up your water bottle and it's boiling at 27 degrees, not 100 degrees like it's supposed to, well, you say, we're in trouble. Water, random. The condition of water keeps changing. Or any other stable law. What about gravity? What if today you weigh 50 kilos and tomorrow you weigh 300 kilos? And then the next day you weigh 5 kilos. Because you're floating around like those astronauts on the moon. Well, you can't live like that. It would be so unpredictable. And creation has very many understandable, stable laws. You call them the laws of nature, right? Thermodynamics, gravity, you know, forces of different kinds. Even in biology, if you have two animals, if you have two sheep, a male and a female, and they mate, the female bears a little sheep, a lamb. If it bore a penguin or something, or a meteorite, or a little girl, you say, well, that's not what we expect to happen. That doesn't happen like that. There's order in it. So, and this is what is true. So, what science does is it gathers data, empirically observable data, and says, oh, here's the data. Here's what actually happens. Every time two sheep mate, they bear a lamb. That's what happens. Then you can recognize laws. When the sun rises at 6 in the morning, the next day you say, well, it probably will rise around 6 in the morning. If it came up at 10 o'clock, you'd say, well, that's not how it works. Or if it never went down, if it just stayed up in the sky all day long and all night long, you'd say, well, we would have no way of knowing what's the difference between day and night, and we would live in random chaos, which we don't. We live in an ordered creation. And this is, I'm on and on about this, because this is wisdom, the evidence of wisdom in creation. But as I say, everything in creation and everything that we identify as wisdom points to Jesus Christ. So let's look at today's gospel. Here's wisdom incarnate. Walking down the mountain, he had just revealed himself in glory to his three apostles, Peter, James, and John. And so they're coming down the mountain of the Transfiguration, and they walk right into this controversy, argument. Isn't that the human situation? And no matter where we go, if we end up in a crowd of people, there's always going to be some controversy. In this case, the controversy was about how to drive out an evil spirit. He calls it, the father calls it, a mute spirit. From the description, it sounds like epilepsy. If you know the medical condition epilepsy, the seizures look very much like this, the rigidity, the foaming at the mouth. So anyway, they identify it as a mute spirit, and the apostles have been unsuccessful in driving out the spirit. Now remember, the apostles were given authority to drive out evil spirits. Jesus sent them out to do that exact work. So they were familiar with how it works, the laws of the spiritual world. But it didn't work this time. And so they get into an argument about how it works. Jesus' response to this is kind of striking. He says, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Sounds to us like he's fed up, like, I'm fed up now, I can't put up with this anymore. No, he's putting it on them. How long will you not put faith in me? Very much like we heard last week when they were preoccupied with their one loaf of bread, you remember? And he was talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and they're thinking about bread, and he says, well, how, you still don't understand, you still not understand how many loaves did I multiply? And they saw the empirical evidence that he was able to provide food for the multitude, but they didn't make the logical conclusion that he's trustworthy. Well, here they do something similar. they seem to have been relying on themselves and their own power to drive out the evil spirit, and of course they fail. It's like when they fished all night and caught no fish. That's the another example of human agency or human capability when in dealing with things that are beyond us. No, we don't have the power to drive out evil spirits on our own. We need faith and prayer. We need to call on the power of God. So Jesus drives out the evil spirit quickly. And then when the apostles ask, well, why couldn't we drive it out? He says, this kind can only come out through prayer. Well, that's true of all evil spirits. All evil spirits can only be driven out by prayer. Prayer is the only way, because divine power is the only power that determines what evil spirits do. Divine power. So he says, this kind can only come out through prayer. It's a way of reminding them, you're not relying on me, you're relying on something else. That's not wisdom, that's foolishness. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. He's wisdom incarnate. So if we want to be effective in building up his kingdom, we have to rely on him. Let his power flow through us. Whenever we rely on ourselves, on our gifts, on our possessions, on our positions, whatever, we're going to fail. Maybe we might look impressive in the world, but that means nothing. When it comes to the spiritual life and to the kingdom of God, we fail because we're not cooperating fully with God. We saw yesterday the call to love, the call to love in a way beyond human capability, to love in a way that we can never do on our own. Love our enemies, pray for our persecutors, turn the other cheek, and all these impossible demands. And we learned, well, no, we're not supposed to love on a human level alone, a natural level alone. We're called to live and love on a divine level. And we can't unless we receive it from God. So the same is true here. Our wisdom, there is a human wisdom, but it's limited. Then there's divine wisdom, which is not limited, and that's poured into our hearts. There's power over evil. Yes, we have some power, you could say, but it's limited. But God's power over evil is unlimited, and it's poured into our hearts. So let us not make our journey through this world in foolishness or relying only on human strength. Let us journey through this world, which is largely dominated by confusion, by evil, by lots of troubling and confusing phenomena. Let's not rely on ourselves alone. Let's rely on the power that comes from Jesus Christ, the power to which we have access through faith and prayer.